It's time for Hoop Talk, presented by Olympia Orthopedic Associates on 95.3 KGY. A weekly look at high school basketball in the area with your hosts, Noel Wall and Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber.
Good morning and welcome on a suddenly foggy morning here at the waterfront studios of KGY. From Studio 1A, I'm Noel Wall with Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber on the line. On today's show, Matt Classic, the big all-category wrestling tournament, was last weekend in Tacoma. Dave, you were there, and you're going to bring us the highlights today.
Yeah, as usual, it was a large, hectic event, and especially so for me because I was covering it for two newspapers, the Olympian and the Spokane Spokesman Review, so that got a little bit hectic, but always amazing to see, even if you're not having the most thrilling time and you're working really hard, it's still amazing to see all those people and all those competitors going at it at the same time.
All right. What a lot of fun. We'll look forward to that in the second half of the show. We also have information on swimming. That championship stuff happened a little bit ago over the weekend, I guess. Gymnastics is coming up. Plus, of course, high school state basketball tournaments begin next Wednesday in Spokane, Yakima, and Tacoma. This weekend's regional games are going to set the final brackets. We got interviews with Timberline boys coach Alan Thomas and Dustin Workman, coach of the Olympia girls. We're going to get right to it with the Rainier Mountaineers. The boys are out, but the girls are ranked number 11, and they're going to play number 14, Columbia, tonight.
They are, and that game will be a close one. The Prep Sports website, Scorebook Live, is picking the Coyotes in a mild upset. They're picking them to win that one by a bucket.
Oh, wow.
Because of Columbia's tough pressure defense. We'll see how that works. But Rainier is 17-7, and they had an interesting result to make it into the state tournament. They thrashed 2B Central rival Onalaska 46-28. And that was notable because the Mountaineers had lost both regular season games to the Loggers, but obviously won when it most mattered. Brooklyn Swenson and Bryn Beckman shared the scoring lead for Rainier in that game with 13 points each. And as you mentioned, they have the 11 seed now going in against number 14 Columbia tonight. And that is a loser out game. As you mentioned, these regional games are kind of weird, and there are different sizes now because the classifications are no longer balanced. The WIA used to try to balance them at around 60 schools each, but now it's strictly by enrollment, so some have bigger brackets than others. And this particular game that Rainier's playing in, the winner does move on to the main draw of the tournament next week at the Spokane Arena, and the loser is out.
Yikes. All comes down to what happens. Again, that's tonight, 6 o'clock at Tumwater. Tonight's girls are in a similar situation. They're seeded number 12. They're going to play a number 13.
Yeah, they are 17-6. They lost the District 4 championship game 38-35 to their 1A Evergreen Conference nemesis Montesano, which rallied from a 9-point second-half deficit to beat the Beavers for the third time this season. I saw those two play earlier and the same thing happened. I don't think it was a 9-point deficit, but Monty did rally to beat Tenino late. In this game, Tenino star Ashley Scowl was held to just 8 points, but she grabbed 14 rebounds. Megan Letts was the leading scorer in this one for the Beavers with 11 points. The 12-seeded Beavers, as you mentioned, they'll meet the number 13 seed Toppenish, which comes out of the mid-state to be just an athletic power lately. Their wrestling team scored an amount of points that even the announcer at the arena said will never be broken. So they are showing up in a lot of sports as a pretty good team lately, and this will be another loser-out game. It'll be played at WF West High School in Chehalis, and the winner will move on to the Yakima Valley Sun Dome for the main bracket of the state 1A tournament. Toppenish is 17-7, and they kind of have their offense built around sophomore post Jaden Johnson.
All right. Well, Rainier and Tenino, those are games you can watch because they are real close here this weekend. A little tougher to see are going to be the Tumwater boys. They are seeded number 5, but they're set to play number 4, Pullman, at the other end of the state.
far, far away, and we'll get to that. The boys are, the Tumwater boys, both teams are in state. The boys are 19-4. They lost the District 4 championship game 58-50. I don't know where I got 54 from, to R.A. Long, and that was a mild upset. The Birds were ranked number one and R.A. Long number three in the district. The 2A Evergreen Conference MVP, Luke Brewer, led the Thunderbirds with 19 points in the defeat. And as you alluded to, it sends the fifth-seeded Tumwater into a game against fourth-seeded Pullman at University High in Spokane tomorrow at 4 p.m. And that's obviously a long trip for the T-Birds, but not as pressure-packed as it could be, because both those teams are guaranteed a spot into next week's main 2A state tournament in Yakima.
All right.
And the winner of this game, the benefit is the winner heads straight to the quarterfinals. So you get to skip around if you win this game.
Oh, you wouldn't play till Thursday, is that right?
What's that?
You wouldn't play till Thursday if you win this game.
Wouldn't have to play till Thursday, that's correct. And the Greyhounds are 20-2 on the year. They're led by 6'8" senior Grayson Hunt. And they have another 6'2 junior guard, Jaden Brown, is pretty good. So we'll see how the Birds do after that long drive.
That'll be a close one. The girls, a little bit easier to watch. They don't have to travel so far. They are, of course, seeded number one, and they're going to play the number eight seed tomorrow.
They will do that. They're 22-1 on the year after beating Hudson's Bay 59-46. I don't know. I'm having a lot of trouble with these numbers today, Noel. I don't know what's going on here. I better reteach myself my numbers. But 59-46, that was the District 4 championship game right before the boys lost their district title game. Nice little doubleheader down at Mark Morris last week. Isabella Lund was hot in the first half, and it finished with 17 points, while Aubrey Amendola added 15. Reagan Brewer came off the bench to approach a double-double. She had 8 points and 8 rebounds. And, yeah, that is Luke's sister, and they got some decisions to make when inside their family. Who's going to go all out to Spokane and who's going to stay here to watch Reagan?
So, who gets the short straw?
That's right. Well, I don't know if you ever saw where Steph Curry's parents were. The Warriors were playing Portland, which had Seth Curry at the time, their other son.
Oh, yeah.
And they were wearing opposite jerseys. The mom and dad were wearing opposite jerseys, but kind of cheered for both of them when anything actually happened. So,
sure.
Interesting to have more than one kid playing at once. Anyhow, top-seeded T-Birds meet the 8-seed Burlington Edison. And that is a long-time Tumwater rival in a number of sports, particularly on the girls' side in volleyball. So Burlington Edison and Tumwater, no strangers to each other as schools. That game will be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at WF West. And again, that will be one that will determine a quarterfinal berth to the state tournament next week. It will not eliminate anybody, which is always a blessing. Just see a couple of teams go at it for the ability to skip that Wednesday game. Burlington Edison, they are led by senior guards Sydney Reisner and Amy Renault. So we'll see if they're able to outdo Tumwater's senior guards Aubrey Amendola and Isabella Lund. So that'll be a good battle.
Yeah, probably biggest test in a little while for the T-Bird girls, I would think.
Yeah, they do have 3 victories over 4A schools that were ranked at one point during the season. So they have not shied away from anybody this year, and they have fared very, very well against good teams. But you're right, in the 2A EVCO, they really haven't faced anybody. And I have to believe Burlington Edison's a little bit better than Hudson's Bay as well. So it'll be a good test for them before they head out to Yakima.
All right, very good. That is going to do it for our first segment this morning. Don't go away, because we got a lot more basketball coming up in our next segment, the 3A and 4A teams, including we are going to hear from Alan Thomas of Timberline, and we're also going to hear Dustin Workman, the Olympic girls coach. We've got a little interview with them. Later, Matt Classic Wrestling Results. We have a new state champ. We will hear from Yelm's Logan Platt and his coach. Plus, you know, Black Hills, we don't have Mikey Johnson on the audio, but he wrestled his way to second, and several other locals who brought home trophies. And that's not all. We got swimming, gymnastics, and other stuff. A lot of fun coming up. But first, a look at traffic, weather, and a word from our sponsors. It's Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
From Sumner to Pacific, heading north on 167, expect extensive gridlock. On 99 southbound and 5 Heights, anticipate a patchy drive at Porter Way. In Tacoma, you're backed up on I-5 northbound just before Yakima Avenue. You have no hassles from Roy to Yum heading south on 507. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Aceves.
Sponsored by Sylvania. On dark, foggy roads, do your fog lights provide the visibility you need? Upgrade to LEDs from Sylvania, the leader in automotive lighting. Experience how advanced optical design leads to superior down-road clarity. Visit the Sylvania website to find your LED bulbs today.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. End foot and heel pain. Call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
Sports Fan, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at spinteesprints.com. Friends Spin Tees on Facebook.
It's your government, and TVW, Washington's Open Government Television Network, opens state government to you. Live, unedited coverage of the state legislature, governor's office, and state Supreme Court. Plus balanced, in-depth reporting on hot political topics from the TVW news team. TVW, televised statewide on cable, and now available on Roku, plus mobile apps for iPhone and Android. All TVW coverage is streamed live and archived for on-demand viewing at TVW.org.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Olympia's greatest hits, 95.3, Olympia's KGY.
Welcome back to Hoop Talk on a Friday morning with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall. And we are here thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate Auto Parts has your car's part. Aberdeen, Elma, Shelton, and on College Street in Lacey. L&E Bottling, also a sponsor. They're our local Pepsi distributor, proud to support high school sports and our coverage of it right here on KGY. We are talking about basketball and setting up regional games, which happen mostly this week. And we're going to get to how an Oregon team can win a Washington State championship in just a minute. But we are going to start with actually a team that played already this week, and they are going to actually hang up the season. And the Thurston Girls is what I'm talking about, Dave.
Yeah, they finished 20-3, which is just phenomenal considering during the short spring season they finished 4-8. So quick turnaround for them from just a few months ago and they made it all the way to the state regional tournament. First time they've been in state for 28 years, and I think I'm going to drop in here. For those who don't know, they used to send all 16 teams to the Dome for whatever division it was. So these teams that get eliminated in regionals, they did not get stopped short of state. They actually were part of the normal state bracket. They just don't play them all at the Dome. So the Rams did make it to state, first time since 1994, and they ended up losing 59-47 to Eastside Catholic on Tuesday of this week. So that ended their season. Don't have any exact stats on that particular game, but their team was led by players at both ends of their careers. Senior Tay Birdtail came on very strong this season. She was on fire during most of the playoffs. She had a high number of three-pointers in several games. She had as many as eight in a single game during the playoffs. And they have a freshman point guard in Soraya Olgadez, who has been serving notice all season, that she's going to be a force in the 3A South Sound Conference for the next few years. So North Thurston out early, the first local team that made state to be eliminated. But, you know, they were part of it for the first time in forever, and that is a landmark team for the school's program.
Yeah, that's really good, and we hope to see that kind of success continue. Just noting also with these games to play into the Dome, Gig Harbor, we talked about Gig Harbor and Peninsula all season long. So Gig Harbor beat Kennewick to qualify, but Peninsula got beat by Hermiston, Oregon. And Dave, we've talked a little bit offline about how an Oregon team, and I think both the boys and the girls from Hermiston are in the tournament.
Oh, yeah, they're in it in every sport. They're WIA members. A couple of years ago, they decided they were really tired of having to travel long distances to play even in their regular league, I think, in Oregon. So they petitioned to join the WIA because they're right across the river, I guess, from the Tri-Cities, and have actually thrived, not only in the basketball tournament, but they, in the wrestling that we'll talk about a little bit later, they finished second in the 3A boys wrestling. So, yeah, you know, it makes perfect sense. They're more a part of the Washington scene. They play more Washington schools than they do Oregon, et cetera. But, you know, you kind of, you know, have that little home state pride, and you kind of wonder what it'll actually be like when an Oregon school actually wins a Washington state championship.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's move on. Timberline, where the boys are alive. Number 8 Blazers are going to play number 1, though, tomorrow.
Yeah, luckily that's not a loser out game, but they are overall 17-5. They lost the 3A West Central Southwest Bi-District Championship game 84-61. A little bit unfair, though. They lost to Auburn on Auburn's court. Normally you wouldn't see a district championship game played there, but it was a predetermined thing. Auburn was already hosting the Final Four, what have you. So it wasn't something where Auburn somehow got the home game away from what was the number one seed in district, Blazers. So that was just something the way it fell. Brooklyn Hicks had a 20-point, 15-rebound double-double in that loss to go with 6 assists. And Daryl Gibson added 17 points and Miles Gursky 15. And as you mentioned, the 8-seeded Blazers will be playing number 1 Garfield tomorrow night at Bellevue College at 6 o'clock for the chance to be seeded directly into the quarterfinals at the Tacoma Dome. And it is a heavy load, as Alan Thomas will talk about a little bit in the interview. Bulldogs are 21-0, and they are led by guard Corin Johnson, who's a UW commit. But obviously, they have more depth than just him to go 21-0 in the difficult league that they play in.
All right. And you talked to Coach Alan Thomas right after that Auburn game. Here is that interview.
We're talking with Alan Thomas, head coach of Timberline High School boys team. And Alan talked a lot previously about trying to peak at the right time. Do you think your team is doing that going into regionals?
I actually feel that we're heading in the right direction. I know it's hard to, you know, not give a definite answer, but I think there is another level that we can get to, you you know, with this group that we have. I've been very pleased with, you know, the strides that we have made, but we still have some work that needs to be done in order to, you know, beat some of the teams that we're going to see down the road.
Unfortunately, you did lose the district championship game, the bi-district championship game to Auburn. What did you guys learn from that effort that you can carry forward?
We learned that, you know, it's going to take a team effort in order to beat, you know, some of the top teams that are going to be, you know, battling for that state championship. We had two guys that have led us, three guys that have led us all season long, you know, being very consistent with their scoring effort. But now that we're, you know, facing some of the, you know, the better teams across the board, we will need effort from a couple more guys that we are kind of identifying this week, and we have been trying to identify throughout the year. These practices this week have been super intense. Guys have been getting after each other, and that's a great sign leading into Saturday's game against Garfield.
Speaking of top teams, Garfield, one of the top seeds in the tournament, and actually the top seed in the tournament. And what do you know about them, and what makes them so good?
They are very, very well balanced. Corin Johnson leads the attack. He's Metro League Player of the Year, but also Jalen Stewart is a very dynamic scorer. Can shoot the three, can post you up. But once you pay too much attention to those two guys, they have Sherrell McCollum, who might be one of the better big guys in the entire state. He's a load down low. He's very patient, great offensive rebounder, knows how to use his body well, holds seals well. And, you know, he can kind of step out to about 15 feet and shoot that jump shot, that face-up jumper. And then they have also the defensive player of the year, Raphael, who's a great defender. He's very fast in transition, and he does a great job of getting these guys the ball when they need it. And so they're a great, great team. And I think that for us, this is exactly what we want. You know, being one of the top eight teams, you're secured a spot in the Tacoma Dome, whether you win or lose. But we're going into this game with a mindset of winning, and we're going to try to do some of the things that we've been doing all season long, and we're not going to shy away from the moment, and we're going to leave it all out there.
Fortunately for you, you've had some good teams over the years. I know you played at Bellevue College, where this game is scheduled, and you'll also be playing, as you mentioned, at the Dome no matter what. What have you learned coaching in the state tournament over the years that'll help you this weekend and also next weekend?
You know, going back to my very first year in 2013 with Donovan Dorsey's group when he was a junior, we played Coach Kerr in Franklin High School at the time. The one thing I noticed right away is that the lights are bright. You have to play. You're going to be forced to play half-court basketball at times. And early on, if you've never been in that moment before, it's a little overwhelming at the beginning until you settle down and you just start playing your game. You know what I mean? It is just basketball at the end of the day. But I've learned that the teams that win don't shy away from contact. They're aggressive. They play great defense, and they share the ball offense, and they have multiple options that they can go to on the perimeter. And defensively, everybody's locked in for one common goal. And so that's some of the things I kind of took from that, those experiences that we've had and those teams that we've had in the past that have been successful and have gotten banners. I know this team, you know, they're basically one game from a banner this year. But like I keep telling them, that's not one of our goals, is just to have a banner. And we really want our shot at a state championship just like everybody else does. And so in order to do that, you got to prepare hard. You got to be mentally sharp. And especially with COVID, you got to make sure that you're doing all the things that you need to do off the court to give yourself the best chance to stay healthy and peak at the right time, because sometimes, you know, that first day, you're probably not going to be play your necessarily your best game. It might be sloppy, but if you can win, you know, hopefully, you know, by that quarterfinal, you start to figure out what works for you. And, you gotta stay as fresh as possible, because you don't want to wear people out, because playing, four games in 4 days is just pretty tough.
This year, I mean, you have such a young team, a talented young team. If you win, obviously that would give you the motivation to try to go back to back next year. And if you don't win, it'll give you the motivation to advance farther the next time. How great is it to have that level of talent and none of them are seniors?
It's a blessing for sure. I kind of saw these guys as freshmen, even though we took some lumps early on, you know, started off 0-10, but then made it to a winner to state game, but even their freshman year as, you know, as in such a rough start, you can see the potential there. But then, you know, kind of seizing that moment, it was hard last year because they couldn't have possibly made it to state last year as well. But no one had state. So just trying to build. We were trying to build towards this moment. And for these guys, I'm glad that they are experiencing this moment, but I just don't want them to be satisfied with getting there. You know what I mean? I want them to have something that remembers this team for the rest of their lives. And I think they understand now what they're fighting for. I think they understand now the sacrifice that other teams had to make in order to get to this point. And if they want to have that feeling, you know, they're going to have to earn it. They're going to have to earn it just like everybody else does. And so that's a great feeling. There won't be, you know, once you get inside that dome, there won't be a ton of games that are going to be like blowouts or anything like that. People are really going to be working really extremely hard on continuing their season, especially if you end up being in a loser out situation. I've seen a lot of teams that, you know, everybody goes in that first day and they have, you know, aspirations of trying to win the gold ball. And then if they don't win it, you know, there's still games to play if you happen to get to the double elimination part. And, you know, for us, we're trying to get there. You know what I mean? We're trying to get to that point to where we are fighting for, you know, the big trophy.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us today, and good luck tomorrow evening.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Boys basketball coach Alan Thomas of Timberline. They are going to play in the Tacoma Dome next week, but first, number one Garfield tomorrow to decide what day they play.
Yeah, and it's really impressive to look at Timberline over the years. Alan, he mentioned 2013 being the first really good team that he had there. That's 9 years ago now. It's getting
yeah.
a run for them. You know, high school teams tend to be built around star players. And that was, as he mentioned, the era of Donovan Dorsey, who played at UW and later transferred to Montana. Then they had gotten to the Dome in the Eric Stevenson era, who is finishing up his collegiate career this year at South Carolina. Starts a lot of games back there after playing, kind of being a little bit of a vagabond. He went to Wichita State, then to UW, and then on to South Carolina for one last year. And now they have Brooklyn Hicks, you know, who's already has Pac-12 offers. So Allen's been able to mold around those big guys, and he's also had some years in between where they didn't have quite the star power, and they've done pretty well. So it's kind of interesting to see in this day and age a coach stay in a job for, you know, a good long while and
yeah.
Be able to develop three different stellar teams around the different stars that have come through the program.
Yeah, coaching in school is really interesting because it is, you know, it's a revolving door. Unlike pro sports where you can draft a team or whatever, you get what you get and it comes through the door.
Yeah, and then sometimes people leave, you know, and don't stay their whole 4 years, so you're scrambling to replace them.
Yeah.
One of the best players at Yelm this year was started out doing really well at Timberline, but for whatever reason, you know, maybe his family just moved, or maybe he liked the, you know, the thought of playing for Yelm better. But, you know, they did lose a kid that was really good. So, you know, it's a constant adjustment in high school and college. You know, you have to constantly adjust. So, nice to see when someone's able to do that for a long period of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Timberline boys, they are our 3A entry into the tournament. In 4A, we still got a couple of teams alive. Olympia boys, they're number 11. They're going to play number 14, Jackson, tomorrow.
Yeah, and speaking of people who have been in the job for a while and done a great job, John Kiley at Olympia, in his second run as the coach at Olympia, he was there a long time ago, left for a while, came back, and has done a great job. So the Bears are 22-5. They won the consolation. I don't know if you can win the consolation bracket, but they won all their games in the consolation bracket, okay, of the bi-district tournament. They routed fellow 4A SPSL members Sumner, 79-53, and Graham Kapausen, 68-55, in their last couple of games. Excuse me. I would hit the cough button, but I didn't see that one coming. But anyway, in the win over Sumner that gave them a definite state berth, Andreas Engholm scored a career-high 27, and Parker Garrett's added 20. And the 11th seeded Bears, as you mentioned, will play number 14 seed Jackson. And that is, for the Bears, a loser out game at Tumwater tomorrow at 2 p.m. And the winner moves on, obviously, to the Tacoma Dome. Jackson is just 14-9 this year. They're out of Mill Creek, as many people would know, and the Wesco Conference. So we'll see how the Bears do in that one. They kind of have the home county advantage,
so a little bit, yeah,
that should help them.
Girls are
see where they go from there.
Yeah, okay, sorry about that, walked on you. Girls are in kind of the same situation, got there kind of the same way, and they are number 11. They're also going to play a number 14.
Yeah, and the girls are 20-7, and they beat Rogers of Puyallup in the West Central Southwest Spy District tournament, last game in that, and they're kind of an interesting bunch, as we'll hear in the interview with Coach Workman. They've won a number of loser out games going all the way back to the SPSL 4A tournament and the district tournament, so they're not really too fearful of the fact that they're playing loser out game with Moses Lake, the number 14 seed, tomorrow at noon at Tumwater. And if you were paying attention, you realize if you're an Olympia fan, you can watch both of your teams back to back at, yeah, Tumwater tomorrow. Girls at noon, boys at 2. And both of these teams are pretty defensive-minded. Moses League coach Matt Strophy was named his league's coach of the year after guiding the Chiefs to same record as the boys' opponent, Jackson, both of them 14-9. And they have a couple of stars in senior Megan Karstetter, who's a 6-foot forward, and Tegan Wiltbank, a 5-foot-4 guard.
All right, and you did get a chance to talk to Coach Dustin Workman about the upcoming game and possible trip to Tacoma and all of that, and here it is.
We're talking with Dustin Workman, the head girls coach at Olympia. Dustin, you're kind of starting out the state regionals the way you did districts, with a loser out game against Moses Lake tomorrow over at Tumwater, and you guys did really well. The last time I talked to you, you did really well versus Union in the district opener under loser-out conditions, and then fought your way through that bracket. How did your team escape the pressure of that situation of knowing that one loss and they're out?
Well, I think exactly what you said is a big part of it. We played three of our four district games were loser-out. And then, honestly, going all the way back to the district tournament, once we lost that first one to Bellarmine, we knew that it was going to be important to try and win the next two over Curtis and Puyallup, just for district seeding into the WCD tournament. And so I feel like the girls have kind of understood the situation we've been in, and I think it's not technically longer than last three or four games, but I feel like they've felt like this for about seven or eight games. And so I think that they're probably pretty comfortable with the situation, honestly, and they kind of know what to expect, and they know that our backs have been against the wall for a while now.
And as far as, you know, what you did well, other than just ignoring the pressure and playing well, what were you doing particularly well to win your way through to state?
I think, you know, we really, really done a good job defensively, which is kind of what we've done all year. But I think, you know, we played some really diverse teams, like Tahoma, who was averaging, you know, 72, 73 points a game and kind of just running and letting the ball fly from three. And we were able to almost hold them in the 40s. And I think that really, really gave us a big confidence boost individually and as a collective group defensively. And then we've rebounded a lot better down the stretch. And so those are two biggest things. I think we've been pretty efficient offensively all year long for the most part, but we just haven't always finished defensive possessions. But I think the last week and a half or so, that's something that we've really done well. It is just force tough shots and then finish possessions with defensive rebound.
And who are some of the individual players who've been excelling over that stretch?
Well, Natalia McBride is our junior post player, and she's actually been averaging like 16 or 17 a game for about the last 8 or 9 games, and she's been really, really active in the offense a little bit, and I feel like we've been doing a better job of getting her more post touches and getting her the ball sometimes in the high post. She's a pretty versatile post player, so sometimes we'll get it to her in the high post where she can kind of attack, so I think that's been a big part of it. And then I just think that we have so many different we have 4 or 5 people that can really put up 10, 12, 14 in a game. And I think that as a collective group, the girls have just really bought into like making the extra pass, and our leadership's been really good. So yeah, while Natalia's been consistent, you know, we've had 2 or 3 people score 10 or 12 or above every single game in this stretch. And our floor leadership from Hannah Burschauer, you know, handled pressure, like against Tahoma was really good. But I just think as a group, we're not turning the ball over, and then we're doing a nice job of moving the ball offensively.
Now, as far as Natalia stepping up at this point in the season, do you think that that's something that needs to happen in the playoffs? I noticed with Tumwater's boys team, Ryan Otten wasn't a big scorer for them, and then lately he's been having a lot of double-figure games. Do you think to succeed down the stretch, you kind of need to go more to your big players?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps. And to her credit, she's also a really good foul shooter. And so we feel like anytime if we can play through her, play inside out through her, now it gets girls like Ave and Hannah, who are pretty good shooters percentage-wise, it gets them better looks. But, yeah, I do think it's important to attack girls on the inside a little bit, see if you can get some foul trouble or put teams in some tough positions to where they got to kind of adjust to us a little bit more.
As far as Saturday's game with Moses Lake, what do you know about them and what we need to do to be able to be successful?
Well, it's the first when I started looking at the film on last Sunday, it was really interesting because it's almost like playing ourselves. They play pretty much exclusively half court man, and they run a little different style of motion. They run more dribble drive, but they have a good, really good 6-foot girl on the block that's probably getting them 15, 16 a game also. So I think the keys are going to be we've got to limit penetration on their dribble drive. And we've got to do a good job of collapsing and making it tough on the post inside. But I think for us offensively, if we move the ball like we have been, we've actually been in this little stretch, we're averaging more points than we have all year. And so I think if we will just be efficient offensively and move the ball, that we will also give them a lot of problems.
You obviously have some key seniors like Ava Wollum and so forth, but you also have a lot of young talent. What will this playoff run, what we've talked about, you know, having your, you know, the needing to win each of the games and actually coming through and making it to state no matter how far you end up going, what does this mean to your program going forward?
I think it can be a huge building block for us moving into the future. And, you know, yeah, we've made this nice run, but also, I mean, we've gained. And there's not a whole lot of high school teams that can have that kind of success. You know, even when you go get trophies, sometimes you don't have a lot of games to win, I guess. So I think that this can really, really help propel our culture and to get more girls to be excited about turning out for basketball in the future and just really rejuvenate and kind of jumpstart our program.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for taking some time to talk to us, and good luck. Remind everybody that game is at Tumwater, at 12 o'clock noon, I think. So people can get to it and watch it, and hope they'll see you win a game.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me again.
And that is Dustin Workman, the Olympia girls high school basketball coach. As they just said, they're going to play Moses Lake tomorrow at noon at Tumwater, followed by the boys who are going to play Jackson at 2. And if you win, you go to the Dome, get on the bus to Tacoma, and if you don't, you're done.
Yeah, I think with either of those teams, though, they are not going anywhere next year. You know, as far as falling off, they're going to be just as tough next year. Parker Garrett's a top player for the boys. He'll be back. The girls, Natalia McBride, who we talked a lot about in that interview, she will be back. Big high school, 4A high school, they're going to get some replacement players coming up through the program and coming into the school. So the fact that Olympia is in state, even in a loser out game in both levels, is a good sign for what will probably be the case in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah. All right. Well, it'll be exciting to see what happens. And I think they each have a pretty good opportunity to go to the Tacoma Dome and play next week. That's it for basketball for this week, but oh boy, do we have stuff coming up. We're going to look at wrestling. That Classic was last weekend. We got a new state champion. We'll hear from Logan Platt. We've also got some other winter sports going on. But first, weather, traffic, and a word from our sponsors. It's Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
From Sumner to Pacific, heading north on 167, expect extensive gridlock. On 99 southbound in Five Heights, anticipate a patchy drive at Porter Way. In Tacoma, you're backed up on I-5 northbound just before Yakima Avenue. You have no hassles from Roy to Yum heading south on 507. That's the latest from SoundSound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Aceves.
Buying a home, a new home construction, or better checking with the Timberland Bank Rewards Debit Card? We can help, because at Timberland, it's always banking made easy. Whether help at the bank or simplifying life through mobile and online convenience, Timberland is everywhere you are. Open an account, deposit checks, pay a person, or even apply to pre-qualify for a home loan at timberlandbank.com.
Banking made easy. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Timberland Bank. How can we help you?
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You've decided it's time. The junk has to go now. Call G3 Junk Removal with their one-hour response pledge. During business hours, you'll get a call back within an hour. A quote the same day. And that's just the start. Their white glove treatment eliminates your problem quickly and with respect. What can be recycled never sees a landfill. Reusables are donated to local charities. G3 Junk Removal Service. Check their reviews, then make the call. G3 Junk Removal. Look them up online or on Facebook and get it handled now.
Sunny with highs in the upper 40s, a perfect day for a brisk walk. Clear to partly cloudy tonight with lows in the upper 20s.
And welcome back. You are with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall, on Hoop Talk, where we've talked all the hoops we're going to talk. But we have plenty of high school sports to talk about. We are here thanks to sponsors like Choice Regional Health Network. They are your partner for community health and services. Also, McKinney's Appliance with Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances to make your life easier. McKinney's Appliance, Martin Way in Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Well, we are at the end of, you know, the winter sports seasons for all kinds of stuff, not just basketball for boys and girls and wrestling for boys and girls, but also stuff like swimming. We had some swimming go down over the weekend and some state result there, Dave.
Yeah, just a little bit of success for one local competitor. Not quite the same as one of the other smaller sports where the Olympia area kind of dominated in the bowling ranks. But in swimming, the top local competitor was Tony Ponomarev of Olympia. He won the 4A 100-yard backstroke in 50.55 seconds.
Wow.
And, yeah, he was pretty fast. And he finished second in the 200 individual medley in 152.6. He's been pretty good for the last few years. We did a feature story him on in the Olympian a couple of years ago, I recall. And he still, as a senior, was still doing great. So, but not too much else going on in the local ranks to make too much note of in swimming, which, as I think I mentioned last week, was kind of a surprise. There's usually been quite a few top-notch swimmers from the area. I don't know if that's just a function of the pandemic or people being, just normal cycles of teams being down.
Well, you talked about a lack of access also.
Lack of access, but, you know, the one kid that did do well is on one of the teams that uses the Evergreen State College facility that's been a little bit more limited. So who knows? We'll see what happens next year. Girls come first, then come the boys, and we'll see how they do once that gets going again next academic year.
Yeah, well, that time is really good from what I remember from my mediocre high school swimming career back in the 70s. Of course, wrestling tournament happened. Let's look at the girls, because I know there were several girls that brought home some trophies.
Yeah, and in the girls as well as the boys, the top team was the Yelm Tornadoes. They had four athletes who brought home a medal. It goes down to number eight to get on that podium at state wrestling. And their top wrestler was Samantha Blank. She was third at 140 pounds. The Erickson sisters, who kind of got more of the publicity this year because they're both really good and they're obviously sisters.
We heard about them from their coach, yeah.
We talked about them, yeah, a couple of weeks ago. Madison Erickson came in fifth in the 115-pound division, and her sister Cameron was also fifth at 155. And then the Tornadoes also had Lily Lawson finish eighth at 170. And I think I mentioned they came in fourth as a team, which, you know, they've won some championships, but this year they only took six athletes up to the meet. So to come in fourth place with only six competitors is really good. And those six are all freshmen, sophomores, or juniors, no wow. Seniors among them. So they will be back at it again next year, one would think, fairly strong with some other kids, hopefully getting better with some seasoning, and they might take another run at a state title. Other players, athletes, whatever you want to call a wrestler, I guess just a wrestler. Other wrestlers among the girls, Black Hills freshman Sloan Kruger, who had a fantastic season. She was fifth at 105 pounds. And Annika Lee of North Thurston finished sixth in 3A 135s.
So we had six local girls bring home medals.
Yeah, not too bad. Not as good as it's been some years. But, you know, the situation, I think both the programs that were not Yelm, Black Hills with Sloan and North Thurston that had Annika, I think they're both coming on a little bit. A lot of North Thurston kids wrestling at state. A couple of the boys got a medal, so I think they're looking better. Black Hills, new coach that integrated the girls into their program as well as the boys instead of constantly farming out the Black Hills girls they used to practice elsewhere. And I guess Sloan Kruger's done a little bit of that this year, but predominantly wrestled in the same room with the Black Hills boys, and that's going to help that program grow as well.
All right, very good. Well, that's the end of the segment right here, but we have more to come. There's lots more wrestling to talk about because the boys, there were several that brought home medals on that side. Plus, we're going to look ahead to another state final that's still a little ways away. Gymnastics is coming up. We have, though, word from our sponsors, traffic, weather, The weather's foggy right now. It's 95.3 Hoop Talk on Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
From Sumner to Pacific, heading north on 167, expect extensive gridlock. On 99 southbound in Five Heights, anticipate a patchy drive at Porter Way. In Tacoma, you're backed up on I-5 northbound just before Yakima Avenue. You have no hassles from Roy to Yum heading south on 507. That's the latest from Southside Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Esteves.
Are we ready for a little fun?
Yes.
This is Rick Dees. I can't wait to meet you here this weekend. The weekly Top 40 Countdown is ready to go. Do we have some Dees Lees for everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go out on a limb with the weekly Top 40 Sure Shot. You can win huge prizes.
I'm amazed.
The weekly Top 40 Countdown here this weekend. We'll see you.
Rick Dees Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
Sponsored by Kelly Blue Book. Kelly Blue Book Instant Cash Offer is an official offer to buy your car. Enter your vehicle ID info, answer some questions, then get a no-obligation offer to sell or trade it. Then choose a dealer to purchase your car, schedule a time, and drive away with confidence. For all of the it's, KBB.com it.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
The new year calls for a new ride. Drive in style and safety in your new 2022 Kia Sorento SX from Hanson Kia. Power through any weather with standard adaptive all-wheel drive and driver assistance technology. Lots of room for your next winter family adventure. Available now with 2.5% financing for up to 66 months and backed with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Where will your Kia take you? Find yours at Hanson Kia in the Olympia Auto Mall and HansonKia.com.
Set prices plus tax and license and negotiable $150 documentary service payments. APR financing available. Subject to credit approval by Kia Motors. See dealer for these. Offer expires 2/28/2022.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBox Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do It Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do It Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
We got your part.
Many homeless people have given up on the possibility of change. They have lost hope to the streets, to poverty, and to addiction. Hi, this is Skip from the Olympia Union Gospel Mission. With your support, we can offer them hope and an opportunity to rebuild their shattered lives by providing meals, counseling, shelter, and most of all, compassion. Change is possible, so help us provide a path to hope by donating $25 today at OUGM.org. Thank you.
I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent, with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and he can't take it with him. Well, I went to work and found Ray, who's 40 and takes medication to control his high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. That's way more coverage for a lot less than what he was paying. If SelectQuote didn't shop for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote and to find out how much you can save, call 1-800-597-2010. That's 1-800-597-2010. 1-800-597-2010. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at uhc.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. So where can you travel where it's safe? One major insurance company ranked the safest cities in the world based on factors like weather, terrorism, health measures, even the safety of women and minorities. Making the top 10 for safe countries? Iceland, New Zealand, Canada, Switzerland, Ireland, and Sweden. And what about safe cities? Montreal, Amsterdam, Tokyo, and Singapore. 56% of those surveyed said they still feared disease outbreaks, but that doesn't necessarily mean they won't be traveling this year. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more. LibertyMutual.com.
We're playing Olympia's greatest hits. 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
And welcome back to Hoop Talk on a Friday morning. He's Dave. I'm Noel. We're here thanks to people like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, if you can believe it, they're celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and get moving and maintaining good health. They're online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees and Spin Tees Prints, they do excellent work. You can find Spin Tees in their new location behind Minuteman Press and West Olympia. Better yet, online at SpinTeesPrints.com. We've heard a little bit about the girls in wrestling and how they did. And Yelm was the one that took the most wrestlers to the tournament with the girls. And on the boys' side, I think this story is much the same, Dave.
I think so. They took 12 kids up there, and they came in fifth among 3A boys. Of course, as people may or may not know, the girls are on their own. It's all the girls. There's no classifications. It's just girls from 1A on up, or I guess from 1B on up if you have a really small school.
Yeah.
But with the boys, they have the brackets, and 3A was Tornadoes. And they came in fifth in that. And as we were talking a little bit off the air, that made them the champions of Western Washington, because the teams ahead of them were Hermiston, which we talked about being in Oregon, and then three Spokane schools, champions Meade, and then University and Mount Spokane. So the Tornadoes were the best team on the west side, at least in the 3A bracket.
Something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, something to think about. They can only boast of one individual champion. In fact, our whole area that we cover here on the show can only brag of one individual champion. That was Logan Platt at 195. And in getting that title, he followed in the footsteps of one of his older brothers, Derek, who is now a football player at Whitworth University, but won two state titles as a wrestler back in the day. And he wasn't the only one, though, that did well for Yelm. They reached their high standing, which was, as we mentioned, the best by any team out on this part of the state, helped by two wrestlers who lost in the semifinals. Jeffrey Myers at 120, who went into his semifinal against Elijah Cater of, oh, I'm going to get this wrong now, Silas, I think. I know it was one of the Tacoma schools. He went into the semis against him, undefeated. Unfortunately, Elijah was also undefeated and kept it up by beating him. And Braden Platt, Logan's younger brother, I was in the semifinals at 285 and also lost. And in the end, Braden Platt ended up third at 285. Myers was fourth at 120. And the Tornadoes had another couple people who brought home a medal. William Coretta was fifth at 170. And Lake Harris was seventh at 132.
All right.
And
before you go to other teams, let's hear that interview with Logan Platt and Yelm wrestling coach Gaylord Strand.
How does it feel just to win?
Great.
Yeah.
Words can't explain it.
Yeah. It was like something you've always wanted to do, and you finally got it done.
Yes, sir.
Takes your words out of your mouth. Well, what about that, though, you pulling your brother's feet?
Makes me feel great.
Yeah.
He pushed me in the gym all the time.
Big win in that match there. At the start, kind of looked like he was as strong as you, but you just out-technique him. Is that what happened?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah. What did you learn in the early moments that enabled you to pile up so many points?
Can't really say much.
Just reaction?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. How good a job did Logan do this year?
He was on a mission.
Yeah,
on a mission.
From the first day of the season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what did you do particularly well this weekend to enable him to particularly roll up that big score on that match?
He took second to state 2 years ago, and he got ripped out of the state tournament last year.
Right.
So. And he really wanted it. So it didn't just happen the last week or two. It took the whole year.
How did you feel about your team's performance?
Oh, I'm very proud of them. Unfortunately, we didn't get to bring home a trophy this year, but hanging in and getting fifth place in this tournament this year, with all those 4A schools dropping down, toughened it up. So I'm really proud of them.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Yelm High School Wrestling Boys Coach Gaylord Strand and man of few words, 3A champion Logan Platt.
Yeah, you know, I was covering as well for the Spokane paper, and what a wide variety of responses when you interview these kids who've won a championship. Some of them are soft-spoken like Logan. Other ones will just go on and on and on, you know, talking about everything you ask them about. They give you a long response, but, you know, they're all the same in that they were focused enough and intense enough to get through and win the event. And, you know, if you listen to that interview with Gaylord Strand just then, you hear all that stuff in the background.
Yeah.
We're always referring to you know, the size of that event. And, you know, sometimes you listen to our football interviews here on the show, you hear the band playing in the background, or, you know, maybe a couple of kids yelling at each other or whatever. But, you know, that Tacoma Dome, just nonstop noise. And, you know, even though I was complaining a little bit about the hecticness of it this year for me, I still say if you're a fan of just sports in general, you got to see that one time.
Yeah.
Go up there for at least a couple hours one day and check it out.
Yeah, fantastic event. Yelm wasn't the only one to bring home a medal.
No, they were not. Black Hills' Mikey Johnston, who we interviewed earlier in the season, he was a finalist in 2A at 106 pounds, but he lost his championship match to Quentin Harding of the team champion Orting. So no champion from right here in Thurston County, but not too far away, Orting getting the 2A title. And we do have a small list of boys who reached the podium, and I'll just read it off.
Yeah.
Olympias Alex Grant finished eighth in the 4A 182-pound division. Charles Parker of North Thurston was eighth at 3A 145s. Elijah Wyatt of Capitol was 7th at 3A 160. Ezekiel McEwen of Capitol was 3rd at 3A 170. Marcellus Belton of North Thurston was 5th at 2A 220. Russell Scholl of North Thurston, 5th at 3A 285. So several there. And unfortunately, I'm going to say this kid's last name. This young man named Hagerty from Capitol that I somehow missed when I was going through this list, but I know he was got himself some sort of medal, and I blew it and didn't have him on my list, but maybe we'll even take the trouble to mention him next week. But
sure.
So Capitol, counting him, that's three kids that got in there for them, so they have a little bit of something going on there. North Thurston, as you can see, had a couple, so a lot of purple was out there.
Yeah.
Another team that we don't cover directly on our show, but they interact with our teams obviously a lot as members of the 2A EVCO. WF West had a strong number of kids that did well.
I noticed that when I looked up the results.
Yeah. In fact, the first day they were about in third place or so, and it looked like they might make some noise as a team. They had a whole bunch of semifinalists, but none of them came through, and they didn't have as fantastic a meet as they wish they did. But nonetheless, a team that's on our local scene a little bit that did well. So I think we'll see a resurgence next year in terms of the number of medalists, the number of champions. I guess we do have to remember that we really don't have that many schools compared to the entire state. So to not have a whole bunch of top 10 teams isn't really a matter of concern. I guess it's just more exciting when they do well, as both the Elm girls and boys did this year.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. So that wraps up wrestling for the year. I know we're going to talk about gymnastics. I had thought it was a little farther off than maybe it is. When does gymnastics wrap up?
Well, I think it's the state meets are getting underway as we speak. I think they start at 9 o'clock today with the combined 1A, 2A, and 3A, which will feature North Thurston and Timberline. And then tomorrow, Olympia will be in the 4A meet. And both of those championships are scheduled for Sammamish High School, which, correct me if I'm wrong with my immigrant to Washington geography, but I think that's in Bellevue, is it not?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so that's where you need to go if you want to watch the gymnastics championships. Three local teams involved, North Thurston, Timberline today, and Olympia tomorrow.
All right, very good. That is going to wrap it up for this Friday. Next week is going to be a lot of fun. We'll be right in the middle of the basketball tournaments, and so we will have some results and some previews and hopefully some more good news than bad for our local teams. Get out and enjoy the sunshine today. It's going to come after the fog burns off, and then we got, I think, rain for a little bit. Let's see. This show is brought to you in part by a passion for high school sports, but mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors. So do us all a favor and support them if you would. Thank you to our executive producer, Kevin the Brit Huffer, always here to hold my hand in the morning, which I really appreciate. Thank you for listening this morning. If you did miss something, you can find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Look for On Air, then High School Sports, and then go all the way to the bottom, one more click, and you're there. Join us next Friday for Hoop Talk. Right now, the workday, weekday kickoff on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.